Today is Halloween. It's a holiday known for spookiness and ghosts and bats and superstitions. We talk about sport fandom in our conversations, and superstition is undoubtedly a large part of sport fandom.
It's a large part of every kind of fandom. It's a large part of all aspects of life, and certainly sports fans have not been left behind in their desire to figure out ways to impact the outcome of a sporting event through their superstitious actions and thoughts and emotional responses.
When I think of superstition in sports in general, the first thing I think of are baseball players, because traditionally they've always had all of these weird quirks. And do you remember Wade Boggs? He ate chicken before a game, had five hits, and then ate chicken before every game the rest of his career.
And that's 162 games a year. That's a lot of chicken. That's a lot of chicken. Yeah, I also, in talking about athlete superstitions in my sports psych class, apparently goalies in hockey are particularly superstitious too. So I don't think it's limited to baseball, but some of the superstitions in baseball are so well known, like not stepping on the foul line when you walk, you know, on and off the field as a pitcher, things like that. Oh yeah, baseball. But again, with 162 games, you're probably going to have more opportunities to develop these types of things.
We're both sports fans. And,
right.
And I know we both have individual nonsensical, superstitious things that we do as fans. Do you have one you'd like to admit to?
Yeah, so I have the burger hex. And I don't even really remember where it began. I think it goes back to my days at Baker University in the fraternity. But somehow I came up with this notion, not on my own, but was told by somebody else a long time ago, that if you put your finger in your nose and you pretend to flick a burger at someone, you can hex them. Now that sounds, you know, one part strange and one part disgusting. But so I got to Murray State, and we had, when the Racers moved to the new arena, we had a whole bunch of different families that all bought bleacher tickets together, season tickets in the bleacher section. And so there would be 15, 20, 25 of us, and we all knew each other. We would travel some on road games. And it got to where, okay, so now you have to booger hex the free throw shooter. And so I would sit there, and it would be a crucial moment in the game, and, you know, the opposing team's player would step the free throw line, and you'd hear, you know, 15 or 20 people screaming at the top of the lungs, booger hex him, Dan, booger hex him, Dan. And of course, you know, I would do it, and I'll be darned if they didn't just miss just enough to make you go, well, maybe there's just the magical booger. I don't know. And it's kind of funny because it's completely lingered. And just 1 week ago in my bowling league, one of my teammates, who's also a big Racer fan with me, a critical moment, last bowler, last frame, last game. If he gets a strike, we're losing. If he doesn't, we're going to win. And Eddie walks over and says, booger hex him. And I'm like, look, I'm a scientist. I'm not going to, yeah, okay, go ahead. Yeah. So I do it. Sure enough, this guy throws a split, and we win the game. And so now that's all we're going to remember. So what do you think is going to happen the next time we're in that situation?
Booger hex,
exactly. People have asked me, you know, there's really nothing to this scientifically. I'm like, well, to the other superstitions, no. But the booger hex, that's a fact. That's real.
So in all your years of research, what have you discovered about fans and their superstitious behaviors? Are there certain types that are more prevalent?
Yeah, absolutely. So I've done an awful lot of research on fans, and we've covered in my lab pretty much every aspect you could come up with, right? From the things they do, to the things they think, to the things that they feel. And I've never done a study that I enjoyed more, that I had more fun with, than a study on sport fan superstitions that myself and about five or six other colleagues at different universities collaborated on. It took us 6 years to code the data because we couldn't get through anybody without spending 15 minutes laughing and talking about it. It was an absolute laugh riot. We ended up with over 1,000 sports fans across the country telling us about their superstitions. And I never dreamed about the creativity that sports fans could have and the things that they would do to try and influence an outcome of an event of which they have no impact on whatsoever. Things such as the UK basketball fan who, after each half, well, I should say, after the first half, and before the second half starts, would have to go out to his garden and light incense from front of his Buddha statue. There was the individual who had to place his hand, when watching his favorite basketball team on TV, Louisville Cardinals, he had to place his hand over the eyes of the free throw shooter for the opposing team to disrupt and jinx this person. I will say again, on the TV, he would have to place his hand to disrupt the person's focus. The person that every time his team had a runner on third base, he had to take his lucky pack of baseball cards and rub the cat's belly. the lady who said her superstition was that each Friday night before her favorite football team had a game, college football team had a game, she had to make love to her husband wearing the her favorite team's jersey and appropriately colored socks. And I used to giggle thinking that nobody looks forward to the college football season quite as much as her husband.
Yep.
And then probably my all-time favorite, and again, I could go on because we had thousands of superstitions, but there was one person, a Notre Dame football fan, who said that before each quarter, he had three verses of the Bible that he had to read from. And then there was a Notre Dame football fan who said that before each quarter, he had to drink three beers. And what I love was, it was the same fan. So somewhere in Notre Dame Stadium, there's somebody with a beer in one hand and a Bible in the other who says sports, not religion. When we looked at that study, we were able to classify them as different types, and certainly apparel was at the top, a lucky hat, a lucky shirt, lucky socks and shoes, but lucky vocalizations, lucky seats, lucky charms, lucky numbers. People had lucky behavioral patterns. I have to go get the nachos first, and then I sit down and eat the nachos, and then go do this, and then go do that. Almost an OCD level. And here's the thing. We were very careful to make a distinction between rituals and superstitions. So Michelle and I often will eat at Culver's with friends before or after a race or basketball game, right? So let's say we kind of get in the habit of eating at Culver's before each game and then going back for a dessert afterwards. I don't think that eating Culver's helps the racers play better. That, by the way, is the point of the Booger Hex. I don't think that the Culver's helps the racers. But there, so that's a ritual. A superstition is where you absolutely believe that by doing this, you improve your team's chances. So we were very careful in our description of what we were wanting them to write about. We want things not that you just do routinely. We want things that you do because you believe they have an impact in the outcome. And then we asked them, to what extent do you think these have an impact in the outcome? And one was very little, up to eight, a whole lot. And the average was right around 5.5. They absolutely were convinced that what they did mattered. And when we asked them, why do you do this? The most common response was, because if I don't, they'll lose and it will be my fault. They literally were going to feel guilty if they didn't do it. That's the extent of what's going on in the sports fan's mind, right? I mean, for these highly identified fans, what's happening on the court, happening on the field, happening on the pitch, it matters so much to them, right? Part of their identity is wrapped up in this team's success, and they can't do anything about it, right? I mean, they can scream and they can holler and they can try and encourage and they can clap and they can boo, but the reality is they're 99% helpless. But yet they know at the end of the day, the team wins, great mood. Team loses, bad mood. So there's a lot going on. We don't like things that are random. We like to be in control. We like to have this sense of, I'm going to impact my life and take ownership and responsibility. And that's when superstitions pop up, because they are basically just our desire to gain control in an otherwise uncontrollable environment. And that really kind of describes a highly identified fan. They're looking for control in a scenario that matters to them that they really can't do much about.
The one question that I have is there a commonality in the genesis of these superstitions? Did they just happen upon them once and saw a positive result and found a correlation in their mind?
Yes. Yeah, so from from the psychological perspective, essentially what you're talking about is Thorndike's law of effect, which simply says, E.L. Thorndike came up with this a century ago. Essentially, his law of effect is that any behavior that you do that's followed by a positive consequence has an increased likelihood of being repeated. And the key there is followed by, not causing, right? The positive consequence doesn't actually have to have been a function of the behavior. But in our mind, we have this causal illusion. We think that if something happens and then something else happens, there must be this temporal pattern. And so A causes B. So you do something. Now, why you did it the first time, maybe just to be silly, right? I mean, maybe you're standing there with your friends and it's Tevin Brown and you're at the UT Martin basketball game, right? And so Tevin's got the ball and you say, hit it, Tevin. And he shoots and makes the three-point shot. And then all of a sudden, okay, so whenever he gets the ball, I got to hit it, Tevin. Well, he made like 8 or 9 three-pointers, right? So now all of a sudden you're thinking, oh, you know, I'm impacting this outcome. This positive result is occurring because of what I've done. At the end of the day, it's interesting. You'd ask sport fans, do you really think that what you're doing matters, right? I mean, you sit down a sports fan, you say, look, you're a highly educated individual. You seem rather reasonable. Do you think that yelling, hit it, Tevin, right before he shoots is making somehow the basket bigger, the ball smaller, or his hand-eye coordination better? They will almost always say, well, no, not really. And given a chance, they'll absolutely be right back out there doing it again because it's all they can do to impact the outcome.